Thank you, Bill, and good morning to you. So encouraging to see each one of you out this morning. We hope that you've come ready to hear from God. He has promised that where two or three gather in His name, His Son will be right in the middle. And that's the desire of our hearts as we meet together as a local church, that the Lord Jesus will have center place. He will be the focus of everything that we say and do, and we focus our attention upon His Word. And there we find Him as the central theme of the Word of God. And as we study the Lord Jesus, we find so much practical for our own lives. And we hope that this morning that will be true for you. It will be true for each one of us. We're going to be looking in Ephesians chapter 5, and I will invite and encourage you to turn to that portion of Scripture as we continue our study, thinking of the nation of Israel. And you may wonder, well, what are we doing in the New Testament if you've not been with us before, if we're studying the history of the nation of Israel? But we're really looking at Israel as they journeyed from Egypt. We find that back in the beginning of the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. And as they traveled out of Egypt by God's power and then into the wilderness and through the wilderness by God's power and by His mercy and grace, and they came to the promised land. It took them 40 years to get there because of their unbelief. 38 of those years were caused by their own unbelief, their unwillingness to really trust God. But eventually He brought them, as He promised He would, to the very edge of the promised land. And that's where they are in our study, back in the book of Joshua. But we find that the book of Ephesians has some wonderful and practical and relevant challenges for us and information for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior in this day and time. And I trust that this morning, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior at this moment, that by the time we end this time together, that you will know Him as your Savior. And if you do know Him as your Savior, that today you will be encouraged in your walk with Him. And we have been blessed to know from the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that in the Lord Jesus, if you know Him as Savior, then you are in Christ, and in Him you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing. We've looked at a number of those blessings. In fact, we looked particularly at 18 of them that we found in the first three chapters of this book, and we could have gone deeper into this book. We could have gone farther into the Scripture to find the spiritual blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus. And as we've mentioned several times, we're very grateful for the material blessings, but Paul's emphasis by the Holy Spirit and God's emphasis by the Holy Spirit is that we appropriate the spiritual blessings that are ours in the Lord Jesus. Those blessings such as being used by God to present to the angels the manifold wisdom of God, chapter 3 and verse 10. Those blessings such as the power of God in us as we're strengthened with might in the inner man, chapter 3 and verse 16. That not only would it be true that the power of God is available to the believer, but that as believers in the Lord Jesus, that that power would be manifested through our lives, that we would experience that power. Chapter 3 and verse 17 talks about the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He indwells every believer in the person of the Holy Spirit. But Paul prayed for the believers there in Ephesus that the Lord Jesus would be at home in their hearts. And that's a spiritual blessing that God wants us to appropriate. And the children of Israel, those Israelites, as they went into that promised land, we've seen that they had to go in and possess what God had given to them. We used the illustration last week of being at a buffet like the Golden Corral, having to get up from our table and walk over to the buffet, and it's all provided, it's all there. And let's say someone has paid for it for us, but we've got to walk. And we find that we're looking now at three walks here that we find in Ephesians chapter 5. And in the first 21 verses particularly, and we're looking at those. And you know, it's interesting as we think about this, these walks, and again, our walk in the New Testament symbolizes for us our lifestyle. What characterizes your life? If I ask someone that, what kind of adjectives, what kind of nouns, what kind of verbs would they use to describe your life or my life? Sometimes we say, you know, it's hard to do more than one thing at a time. You know, you talk about the people who have trouble walking and chewing gum at the same time. You heard about those. Maybe you're one of them. And yet here we find that we're to be walking a walk of love, a walk of light, and a walk of wisdom all at the same time. But it can be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we see something along that line even in our physical life. Anna was reading something to Kim and me last night. I thought it was kind of interesting. It was in the Runner's World magazine, and it was under the heading of Trivial Pursuits, Unusual Ways to Run into the Record Book. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the marathon race. The marathon is a running race of 26.2 miles. Now, some of you say, I don't like to drive 26 miles. I sure don't want to run that far, but people do it all the time, and many of them love to do it. But, you know, it's one thing just to run 26.2 miles. I mean, that's impressive in itself. Listen to a couple of things here that people did while they were running the marathon. The longest scarf ever knitted over 26.2 miles was 5 feet 2 inches long. So here someone is running a marathon, knitting a scarf. It can be done. Fastest marathon while bouncing a basketball. Here this person is running 26.2 miles, bouncing a basketball in 3 hours and 48 minutes. 3 hours and 48 minutes. That's impressive. I'm not sure if I could run one that fast, not dribbling a basketball. One other one I want to mention to you. 26.2 miles while keeping 3 bean bags aloft. Juggling 3 bean bags, running 26.2 miles. He did it in 2 hours and 50 minutes. Very impressive. Michael Caprell. He's even got a picture of him here doing it. So it can be done in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm. Much more important. And it can be done, or God wouldn't tell us to do it. And again, the idea here is that we're doing these things out of obedience to the Lord, to honor Him, and also that we might experience individually, as believers in the Lord Jesus, these spiritual blessings that God has given to us. But He's told us you've got to go into the promised land and to appropriate these benefits. You've got to consciously do that. And you do that, first of all, we saw in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, by being part of a team. And everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus as Savior is a part of the team. We're a part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. And we saw in the second half of chapter 4 that it takes a difference. Our lifestyle needs to be different from that of the world. And now we're looking at these three characteristics. A life, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, we saw that it was a life characterized by love. The key word, selflessness. Selflessness. Read the verses with me again as we move into our text for this morning. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Ephesians, "Be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear or loved children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, for a fragrant aroma." Walk in love in the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life here on the earth in love. It was a life, we see, of selflessness. He gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. And then we moved into the idea of walking as children of light. Our lives should be characterized, first of all, by love. That's a selflessness. Secondly, by light. And the key word here is separation. separation. Light separated from darkness. And we saw, first of all, that the walk is visualized or visible by being contrasting to the darkness. And we saw that in verses 3 through 10. By its nature, light contrasts darkness. And so let's just read those verses and we'll pick up where we left off. Verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Again, the word saints means holy. It means separated. So as ones who were separated, these things should never characterize us. Verse 4, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient," they're not fitting, they're not appropriate, "but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger," we could say a sexually immoral person, "nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." These things characterize the unbelievers, not the believers. Verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, or because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." And we're going to pause right there for the moment as we finish up this idea of the light contrasting to the darkness. Verse 7 is where we left off. We left off with that idea of not participating in any of these activities ever. We don't take vacations from the Christian life. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we're walking in the power of God the Holy Spirit. We're walking by the grace of God. We're living our lives in such a way that brings honor and glory to Him. We're walking as children of light. And that means not walking in the darkness. Not even for a moment. Not stepping aside for a little break from the light that we might enjoy the pleasure of sin for a short time. No. The pleasure is there, but we are to be children of light. And he says, don't participate in any of these ever. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church two letters that we have recorded. In the second letter, chapter 6 and verse 14, we read these verses, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Now, these are rhetorical questions, expecting the answer, none. There's no joining together of light and darkness. Try it in the darkness of your room tonight. Try to cut on the light and see if the light and the darkness can coexist. They don't have any connection. They don't join together. No, the light contrasts with the darkness. Now, he does say there in verse 8, that there was a time in your life when you were darkness. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never recognized that you're a sinner, then the Bible says you're in darkness. You see, we can't be saved if we don't know that we have something from which to be saved, and that's our sin and the penalty of our sin. The Bible says all have sinned. Everybody in this room, I can say it unequivocally, I know I'm right, we're all sinners. We're all sinners, no matter how old we are, no matter what our background is, every one of us has sinned. We've all gone our own way. We've all disappointed God. We've all broken His law. We've all gone against His character. We've all sinned. And if you've never realized that truth by the Holy Spirit, if you never recognize I'm a sinner, then there's no way you could be saved. And if you've never realized that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners, and there's no way you could be saved. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And Paul said that's the gospel. That's the good news, that Christ died for our sins. He is the Savior. He bore our penalty for what we have done wrong, thought wrong, been wrong. And when we receive Him as our Savior by faith, we are brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. Our position at one time was darkness. Every one of us, those who know the Lord Jesus now, were in the light. We're children of light. But at one time, we were in the darkness. And Ecclesiastes 2:13 says that light excels the darkness. And there's the contrast. The Lord Jesus, it was prophesied that He would come. And He would come to those who sat in darkness to bring them out of the prison house of darkness. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. And the people who sat in darkness saw a great light. We read in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. John chapter 1 tells us that the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, shone into the darkness. But the big problem, John tells us in chapter 3 and verse 19 of his gospel, is that men love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. And it's natural for human beings to prefer the darkness because there we can do what we want to do. But in the light of the Lord Jesus, our darkness is revealed for what it is. And the contrast is there between us and the Lord Jesus, and we see Him, the perfect light, not just a good man, not just a great teacher, not just a wonderful prophet, but rather God the Son, living on this earth and shining in the brilliance of God, even when His glory was covered. He still shone out by His character and by His works and by His lifestyle, by His walk. And there was a great contrast there. And the Lord Jesus came and He gave His life and He went into the darkness. Read about that in the Gospels. When He hung there on that cross, we read that 3 hours of darkness covered the earth. And in those 3 hours of darkness, as they came to a close, we hear the Lord Jesus cry out in Aramaic, the English translation being, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was in the darkness that He was forsaken because of our sin. Because He was made sin for us. And because of that, in those hours of darkness, He was punished for what we would do and what we would be. That's the love of God. That the one who is light would go into the darkness, into the thick darkness, and would suffer for us and would bear the burden of our sin and of our guilt and of our wickedness and of our evil and of our darkness. But He would burst forth into glorious light with His resurrection, and He would call us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And the Lord Jesus said, while you have the light, believe in the light that ye may be children of light. And that's how you become a child of light. And if you know the Lord Jesus, you have become a child of the light. We have been separated to Him for His use, to walk like He walked, to live for His glory in the light. We've been taken out of the darkness. We've been separated. He wants us to live that kind of life as a child of light. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. And we're children of the light, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and children of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of the darkness. But the thing is, Paul had to write a letter to Christians to challenge them and to challenge us to walk in the light and to walk as children of light. John actually wrote the letter to walk in the light. Paul wrote the letter by the Spirit of God to walk as children of light. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, there is the necessity for those of us who know the Lord Jesus to consciously put one foot spiritually ahead of the other foot spiritually and to walk as a child of light. We have the ability, but we've got to, by faith, allow the grace of God to work through our lives that we may live as a child of the light, that we may be separate. Because we're still in this flesh, and this flesh still prefers the darkness because the deeds of the flesh are still evil. But we have been made new in the Spirit. How thankful we are that he says in verse 8, you were at one time darkness, now are ye light in the Lord. And that's our position before God by faith in Christ. We are light in the Lord. Okay? Here's your position, Paul says. You are light in the Lord, and look at your practice. He says right after that, walk as children of light. Here's what you are, live that way. So what he's saying is, here's what you are, but it's not necessarily true that you're going to live that way. Unless you choose to, by faith, walk with the Lord Jesus in His strength and allow Him, by the Spirit of God, to live His life through you, and you in obedience take that step in the light, take that step as a child of light. The Lord Jesus told His disciples, ye are the light of the world. Look over at Colossians chapter 1 quickly as we're going to come right back to Ephesians. But while we're this close, look over at Colossians chapter 1. And we have this thought of the light and separation brought together here in Colossians chapter 1. It's a prayer. As we have a recorded prayer of Paul, he's praying for the saints there in Colossae. And we're going to jump down to verse 11. Verse 11 of Colossians chapter 1, he's praying, and he's praying that they might be strengthened with all might according to His, that's God's glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's a lot of our thoughts from Ephesians brought together. Participating in the inheritance. All of these spiritual blessings that are ours for all eternity. But God the Father says, I want you, my children, to enjoy them right now while you're walking in this difficult world. God knows the struggles you're facing. God knows the temptations that you're up against. God knows the persecution that you experience. God knows the struggle that you have in your home and in your neighborhood and at work and in your own mind and in your own heart. God knows that. And in spite of those things, He wants you and me to enjoy these blessings, the inheritance of the saints, the separated ones in light. And we are children of light. We are the separated ones, the holy ones in light. Now, Paul says, walk as children of light. Back in chapter 5 of Ephesians, if you'll come back there with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8 again, for ye were sometimes, at one time, you were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then he's got a parenthesis there, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And some translations there have the fruit of the light. The fruit of the light. And the thought either way is that when we live our lives in such a way that the fruit seen is that of light and that of the Spirit of God, the evidence of our walk. When you walk, there is evidence. When a tree grows, when an apple tree grows and matures, there's going to be apples on that tree, evidencing to us that, yes, that is an apple tree. And when we walk as children of light by the power of God, there is going to be evidence that we are whom we are. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of light, it's goodness. In other words, the way that we live our lives as separate believers is beneficial. It's not like, okay, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to live out in the woods and I'm going to be away from everybody. I'm never going to see another person, and that way I don't have to deal with them and I don't have to be worried about interpersonal struggles or temptations that may come from them. No, the way that we live our lives separated is in the world but not of the world. In the world but not of the world. So that our lives, when we live in the light, that actually benefits other people. We're to be salt and light in our world, the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 5, it's recorded. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness, or it benefits righteousness. We live lives that are right. We live lives that are just in the middle of what we read in the Philippians is a crooked and perverse generation. And the society in which we live, though people try to have laws and basically conform to moral standards, still it is a crooked and perverse society. And as we live lives of righteousness and justice, we're going to contrast with the darkness around us. And then we see that the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the light, is truth. Truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we allow His life to shine through us, the brilliance of the life of the Lord Jesus, then there's going to be a great contrast to the darkness around us. If we will seek to allow the Spirit of God to bring forth the life of the Lord Jesus out of us, and we do so obediently, seeking to do what God wants us to do, trusting Him to give us the power to do it, the power that works in us, then our lives are going to contrast to the darkness. And verse 10 says that we are going to be pleasing to the Lord, proving what is acceptable or well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's the test. That's the test. Did you have any decisions to make this week? Some of them were just on the spur of the moment. Should I do this or should I not? Is this okay or is it not? Some of them you had time to think about. You knew it was coming and you're going to have to make a decision. And there was some question in your mind, should I really do this? Should I really do this? Maybe another Christian was going to do it. And you thought, well, it must be okay. Well, you see, the real test is it pleasing to the Lord? We've said time and again that that word Lord means master. He's my master. Is this going to please Him for me to do this? If it is, then go for it as a child of the light, walking as a child of the light. But if it's not, don't participate. Have nothing to do with it. You might say, well, it's just in my mind. I'm just going to think about it. I'm not going to do it. God sees the mind. What's in the mind is eventually going to come out through the life. Contrasting with the darkness. And then in verses 11 through 14, we see that as we walk as children of light, that separated lifestyle is going to be convincing to the darkness. Let's read verses 11 to 14 together. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So we see this theme of light contrasting with the darkness and now convincing the darkness, following through all the way from verse 3 down to verse 14. It's the theme there. Notice as we begin in verse 11 at the very end, but rather reprove. Rather reprove. The word reprove means to convince, to convict, to expose. To expose. I was mowing the grass yesterday. Some of you mowed the grass yesterday. And right around our natural area, where our weeds come up to the natural area, supposed to be grass, but weeds come up in the natural area. We got some rocks. My grandmother, we live in my paternal grandparents' house that they built back in the 70s. And my grandmother, my mamaw, she had all kind of rocks around things. And so we've kind of made a little rock border around that natural area. And so when I come up along with the lawnmower, I bumped a rock and the rock turned over. You know, about that big, rock turned over. Well, I was meditating on this, and I said, I'm going to see what was in the darkness. Man, I tell you what I saw under there, I put that rock back over it right quick. I didn't want to see that. It's warm outside. You know, the critters are moving. And they were there. But they were in the darkness, but as soon as that rock turned over, the light shone in, and whoa, they were there, and they were scattering. They were exposed. They'd been hiding there in the darkness. And that's exactly what living a light as a child of light does. You don't have to go in and say, you're sinning. You shouldn't be doing that over there, you wicked. I'm not pointing at you. You wicked, evil sinner. Ron's looking at me like, whoa, what? I didn't do anything. I'm pointing out here. You don't have to do that. If we come in shining with the light of the Lord Jesus, then our lives are going to be a contrast. And in contrasting with the darkness, it's going to convince them. They may not want to hear it. They may not want to see it. They may not want to believe it. They may refuse it. But it will expose the difference in their lives and our lives. When they talk about what they did this weekend and say, what'd you do? If what we did was different, they're going to notice it. When we're talking and they're using certain language and those words don't enter into our language, they'll notice that. When they talk about what's important to them and then you get a chance and you begin to talk about what's important to you, they're going to notice the difference and it's going to convince them that there's a difference. They may still choose the darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They want the darkness until they come to know the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Again, he's emphasizing, we're not to be involved in these things, brothers and sisters. In our culture, there are a lot of things that would not line up with the Word of God as being fruitful and separated and light that our culture says are fine and professing believers and even believers who would say these things are okay. You have liberty to do that. And maybe you do, but the question is, does it line up with the Scripture? Here's our standard, the Lord Jesus and the Word of God. That's our standard. Would the Lord Jesus do this? Avoid sharing in these acts of darkness. Notice that they're unfruitful. What do we see in verse 9? The fruit of the Spirit. And here's the contrast again. These things are unfruitful. They're unfruitful works of darkness. Convince them with your life as you shine. Verse 12, it's a shame even to speak of them. Even to speak of them. Even to talk about these things. Now, obviously, Paul is talking about them here, so that's not what he's meaning. But I think he's saying just to have casual conversation about the things of evil, to joke about it, as we saw earlier in this very section, that's inappropriate. We shouldn't do that. We need to be careful. We need to recognize the difference that is there as we shine brightly with the contrast of our lives. And then in verses 13 to 14, he says, all things that are reproved, or all things that are convinced, or all things that are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatever does make manifest is light. So we see, first of all, that God, through the person of the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit, takes the Word of God, and oftentimes the testimony of a believer, and He takes those things and He shines it on our lives. And He moves the rock under which we're hiding, and He exposes to us what we really are. And He exposes the darkness of our lives, and He evidences what we really are, and we recognize, I am a sinner Even if we don't know the word sin, we know we're doing wrong. We know we're not doing what God wants us to do. And once we recognize the Lord Jesus as Savior and we receive Him, we trust Him alone for the forgiveness of our sins, for eternal life, for a relationship with God, that we would be made new, that we could live as children of light. We're born from above and we become a child of the light. But then even as we live our lives as children of light, sometimes we don't heed the Word of God. We don't heed the Spirit's instruction here. And we crawl back under the rock in a certain area of life. And we're still out in the light, we think. But what communion has light with darkness? Paul said these things should never once be named among the saints. And so the Word of God continues to shine into our lives. That's what we need. One of the reasons we need to be in the Word of God daily, letting the Spirit of God shine it into our lives. Cut on the flashlight. Get it back in the crevices, the dark corners, because we want to walk as children of light. We want to live a separated life, a life like the Lord Jesus, His life being lived through us. And so the Spirit of God keeps exposing little areas of darkness and says, you need to walk as a child of light. You are a child of light. You need to walk that way. Wake up from your sleep, he says there in verse 14. He said, I want to make you whose life has been exposed by the light of the Lord Jesus, I want to use you now to take the reflection of His light, and I'm going to send you out into this culture in which you live, and I'm going to use you as a light. And I'm going to let you shine brightly. It's not your light. You're like the moon, reflecting the light of the Son of God. Allow His life to shine through you, reflect through you, and I'm going to use you, God says, and you might not even know you're being used. And you might get to heaven one day and find out the Lord Jesus was speaking to that person at work, was speaking to that family member, was speaking to that neighbor, was speaking to that individual whose child plays on the same team as yours, who was speaking to that teacher, who was speaking to that child, who was speaking to someone through the light of your life, and you never even knew it. But they saw it. They saw it, and later they received the Lord Jesus. But we've got to wake up. Verse 14, awake, you who are sleeping. Awake, get up. Paul says, some of you folks there in Ephesus, you're asleep. Is that true of anybody here this morning? No, he's talking about spiritual sleep, not physical sleep. Maybe you're getting some of that too. But spiritual sleep, you've fallen asleep. You've let the devil rock you to sleep. He says, wake up. Come up from the dead and Christ shall give you light. The Lord Jesus is the source of our light. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 8. Therefore do not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunk are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. A life of separation. Walking as a child of light every step, not in our own strength, but by the grace of God. A life of love. That's selflessness. A life of light. That's separation. 2 weeks from now, we'll look again at this passage and we'll finish up with that walking in wisdom. And we'll find there a life of sensitivity. But this morning, a life of separation. Wherever you find yourself, contrasting the darkness by your light and convincing the darkness by your light. You know, we need to let others know that we know the Lord Jesus, don't we? If we just live a moral life and they don't know that we're saved, they don't know that we know Jesus Christ, they don't know that the reason we do what we do is because we've been forgiven of our sins and we have a new reason to live, then they may just chalk it up to a good person We need to make sure that our words back up our lives and our lives back up our words for the glory of God. Walk as children of light. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this morning for the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world. Father, we thank you for him, that he came into the world, and though the darkness did not comprehend it, yet, Father, he shone brightly and brilliantly, and Father, by his death and burial and resurrection, every one of us are brought face to face with your provision for salvation, for forgiveness, for a new life. Your son said if he be lifted up, he would draw everyone to him. And Father, we know that each person has a decision to make, to receive the Lord Jesus or to reject him. Father, I pray for any here this morning that have never received him as Savior. Father, may this be the day that they cry out for forgiveness and mercy based on the death and burial and resurrection of your son. And Father, we pray for us who do know you. Father, we're children of light. We're children of the day. Father, you challenge us to walk in that way, to walk as children of light, and you've given us the ability to do it. We thank you for the life of the Lord Jesus, that by the Spirit of God we can live, Father, as we seek to be obedient and trust you to enable us. Thank you for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Father, we want to enjoy those. We want to appropriate those, and we know, Father, that as long as we're walking as darkness, as long as we're walking selfishly, we're not going to enjoy those blessings. Father, we need to walk like the Lord Jesus walked. And we thank you for reminding us of that this morning. And we pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. I'd love to talk with you more about these things. I'll be out the doorway as you leave this room. Turn to your right. Tell me you want to talk. I'd love to talk about these things. May the Lord bless you as you seek to walk as a child of light.